Well, amen and amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. You don't have to turn there. Just let the Word of God wash over you. The Apostle Paul speaking to believers in the Thessalonian church of his day. And God by His Spirit speaking to us here today. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Do not despise the Holy Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances and prophecies that would come. But test everything. Test everything by the standard of God's Word. Test everything by the Spirit of God in you. Test everything in alignment with what your life experience has been. And hold on to what is good and true. And let go of what isn't. Now, the ministry of the Word today is more along the lines of an expanded prophetic exhortation. And as I was seeking the Lord for the ministry of the Word today, in my devotion time, the Lord spoke a prophetic exhortation and began to form a word around that prophetic exhortation. And so today, the ministry of the Word is taking a bit of a different form than it has in the past in some ways. And it's more of an expanded prophetic exhortation. Now, a prophetic exhortation, catch this now, is meant to stir up our motivation. An exhortation is meant to stir us up. Stir me up, Lord. Stir me up, Lord. Let's decree that together. Stir me up, Lord. That's what a prophetic exhortation is meant to do, to stir up our motivation in an area of our lives, catch this now, where perhaps we've become a bit lax. Where perhaps we've become even complacent in our fervor, in our vigilance in a particular area of our life dynamic in Christ. And God is calling us as believers to aspire to be holy and pure as He is holy and pure. And so bow your heads now and agree with me in this prayer as we prepare ourselves to receive this expanded prophetic exhortation that will come to us. Father God, we incline ourselves and continue to incline ourselves before Your throne on the merits of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. We come now ready to receive the expanded word of prophetic exhortation that would come to us, Lord God Almighty. We come now and ask You, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come and search us and find every place in us that has become a bit lax or even complacent in our fervor and or our vigilance to aspire to be pure and holy as You are pure and holy. Holy Spirit, come and search us. Find every subtle place in us that we may not be aware of, where we've become lax or complacent in a particular area of our life dynamic with You, Lord Jesus Christ. That You would reveal those things to us. And that You would minister a fresh measure of courage and faith in us to aspire in every area of our lives to be pure and holy as You are pure and holy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Guarding your senses. Guarding your senses. Let's say that together. Guarding your senses. As human beings, God created us to have five physical senses. How many of you here are glad for your physical senses? Can anybody say, I'm glad for my physical senses? Can anyone say, I get frustrated at times with my physical senses? Anybody here with me say, oh man, sometimes I wish that physical sense was a little bit dampened. Sometimes our physical senses can get the better of us in a way that would cause us to be drawn away from God's holiness, that could cause us to be drawn away from God's purity that He's calling us to. We have the sense of sight. We have the sense of hearing. We have the sense of taste. We have the sense of smell. And we have the sense of touch. And each of these physical senses evokes certain responses in us, not only physically and physiologically, but as we go along, we'll see that each of these physical senses evokes in us something spiritual as well as it relates to our soul, depending on how we're responding to the physical senses. God has provided us with these physical senses, catch this now, to help direct and protect, to help direct and protect our natural existence. But our physical senses, catch this now, are also gateways to our soul. Let that settle in for a minute. Maybe you wouldn't think of your physical senses as gateways to your soul. But the impetus of the expanded prophetic exhortation today is to be alert and attentive and aware to our physical senses, not only that they're meant to direct and protect us in our natural existence, but that they are also gateways to our soul. Whatever we are allowing to come through the gateways of our physical senses, catch this now, will have an effect one way or another on our spiritual existence. God, by His Spirit, is urging each of us afresh today to take seriously our responsibility as born-again believers, catch this now, to guard the gateways of our physical senses. Guard the gateways of our physical senses in a way that directs, in a way that protects, and in a way that promotes spiritual purity in our soul. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
Now be reminded afresh today about what the soul is. The soul is not your human spirit. Your human spirit is something different. The soul is our mindset, including the inclinations of our free will, and including, catch this now, the varying degrees of our emotional expressions. That's what the soul is. And the spiritual purity of the dynamics of our soul, catch this now, the spiritual purity of the dynamics of our soul is influenced by what we allow to come through the gateways of our physical senses. Maybe you've experienced this, some of this, as I have. Make no mistake about it. Our physical senses are gateways to the condition of our body and soul. And the Spirit of God is stirring in our midst today to motivate us afresh, to take good care to guard the gateways of your senses. Because as professed born-again believers, catch this now, our lives are not our own. Sometimes that eludes me. How about you? As born-again believers, our bodies are not our own. Sometimes that evades me. How about you? And now we have the Holy Spirit in us. Think of that. Just really let that settle in a little bit. The Spirit of God's presence is living in this physical temple that we're living in. God, by His Word, reminds us along these lines from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 15 to 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 15 to 20. The Spirit of God speaking to believers then through the Apostle Paul, and God by His Word and by His Spirit speaking to each of us here today. The New Living Translation reads like this, picking up in verse 15. Don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? The person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with Him. And so your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God. And you do not belong to yourself. For God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. I looked into the Amplified transliteration of these verses, and I believe that the Amplified transliteration provides us with a more refined understanding of these verses for life application. How many here recognize that the bottom line purpose of God's Word is for life application? Amen?
Amen.
The Amplified reads it like this. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Those who are united and joined to the Lord are one spirit with Him. And catch this now. So run away from any form of immorality. Run away from any form of impurity. Run away from any form of unholiness, whether in thought or behavior, whether visual or written. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is within you, whom you have received as a gift from God, and that you are not your own property? You were bought with a price. You were actually purchased with the precious blood of Jesus. And you were made His own. And because of that, you are to honor and glorify God with your body. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
Now, in the context of these verses, how many of you recognize that there's a context? There's a biblical context for each bracket of Scripture. But at the same time, God, by His Spirit, can bring a rhema impartation to us from the Word of God as we understand the context of the verses. But God, by His Spirit, can bring something home to our hearts from those verses that's particular to what we need. Amen?
Amen.
It's the rhema of God's Spirit coming to us. Now, in the context of these verses, the Apostle Paul was addressing sexual immoralities among believers. Among believers. Proactive sexual immoralities and impurities and unholy behavior among believers. Believers who had allowed the gateways of their physical senses to be flooded with the lust of the flesh. Believers who had allowed the gateways of their physical senses to be flooded with the lust of the eyes. While at the same time, catch this now, trying to justify their sinful behavior on the basis of a mischaracterization of their freedom in Christ to do whatever they wanted with their bodies. Even in the church today, we have believers that are justifying their sinful behavior on a mischaracterization of their freedom in Christ. I'm free in Christ to do whatever I want to do. You're free in Christ to do whatever God wants you to do in the boundaries of His Word around your life. Amen? In Christ Jesus, your Savior and Lord, your body is not your own. And as a born-again believer, you belong to God. And catch this now, it's not permissible for you as a believer to allow the gateways of your physical senses, underline the word allow, it's not permissible for you to allow, the onus is on each of us, what are we allowing through the gateways of our physical senses? As a believer, it's not permissible for you to allow the gateways of your physical senses to be open to lustful stimuli. How well are we guarding the gateways of our body and soul? I don't know about you, but I think it's more challenging in today's technological age. We get on the computer, we get on the phone, and we can be instantaneously flooded with all kinds of lustful stimuli, even when we're not looking for it. Anybody here other than me experience some of this as you're trying to find out something and all this stuff is coming in? Anybody ever feel like that? Unplug it! Throw it away! Get out of there! Let's do this together. Come on, let's all do it together. Maybe your lips aren't loose enough to do that. Maybe that's something we can do the next time one of the gateways of our physical senses are being flooded with some kind of impure or unholy stimuli. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. God by His Spirit is looking to search our hearts and to refine our sensitivity. Because sometimes our sensitivities can get dulled. Sometimes our sensitivities can get dulled in the midst of all of the inundation of information that so easily can come into our senses. What are we allowing ourselves to look at? What are we allowing our eyes to linger upon? One time years ago, when I was first saved, and a speaker came to speak to the men's group, and he was talking about sexual purity, and he was talking about how Jesus said that if you even think a lustful thought, it's the same as doing it. And I thought, oh man, I'm in trouble. Might as well send me to hell now. If you even think a lustful thought, it's the same as doing it. Whoa, why? Because God judges the heart motivation. Amen. It's not an excuse to do it. Well, if it's the same, then I might as well just do it, right? Believe it or not, some believers make that justification for what they're doing. But this man was talking about, this speaker was talking about, and it was very poignant to me because he said, how are you guarding your eyes? And he gave the example, a couple of examples. One was, he said, you know, as a man, you're driving down the road and you're keeping your eyes straight on the road. And then you see this woman running. She's jogging. She's just out for a jog, but she only has half her clothes on. And you look, and then you look away, and you keep driving, and then you get past her, and then you look in the side view mirror, and you look away, and you keep driving, and then you look in the rear view mirror, and you keep trying to look away, but your eyes keep going where they shouldn't go. Or you see a billboard, you're driving down the highway, and you see a billboard over here. How many of you here know that if you keep your focus on your central vision, everything else around it blurs out of there? You can kind of see it in your peripheral vision. But where is your central vision? Where is your focal point? Where is your central vision? And if you're keeping your focal point and keeping your central vision where it's supposed to be, then it's going to blur out whatever else is trying to come at you from around the periphery. Amen? Amen? Anybody here other than me ever experienced that before? Mm-hmm. And so it was a very poignant lesson for me about guarding my eyes. And he said, you know, you can make progress in this. Don't be defeated in it. The next time you go down the road and you see the half-clad woman jogging towards you, maybe you would look at her once, look at the side view mirror, but then you won't look in the rear view mirror. And then maybe the next time you won't even look in the side view mirror. And then the next time you won't even look at her. To lust after her in your mind. Amen? Amen. Just an example from my own personal experience and my own testimony and God's process in me to guard your eyes. What are we allowing our eyes to linger upon? What are we allowing ourselves to listen to? What kinds of music are we listening to? What kinds of lyrics are we listening to that ever so subtly can invoke subtle impurities and unholiness in our thoughts? What are you inclining your ears to hear? What sensory stimuli are you allowing to trigger impurities in your mindset, in your emotions, in your decision making? The Spirit of God is stirring in our midst today, I believe, urging each afresh, each of us afresh, to be motivated afresh, to cut off every sensory input in our lives that would defile the temple of God's Spirit in us. Cut it off, says the Lord. Remove every stumbling block from our lives that trips us up into the territories of temptation. God, by His Word, reminds us along these lines. From Matthew 18, verses 7 to 9. Matthew 18, verses 7 to 9. Jesus Himself was speaking to the people of His time. And God, by His Spirit, is speaking to each of us today. The New Living Translation reads it like this: temptations to sin are inevitable. How many of you here have experienced that? Whether you want to be in the territories of temptation or not, they're going to present themselves. But what sorrow awaits the person who does the tempting? Jesus went on to say in verse 8, if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. Ooh. It's better to enter eternal life with only one hand or one foot than to be thrown into eternal fire with both of your hands and feet. And if your eye causes you to sin, there's another place in the Gospels where Jesus says, not to digress, but Jesus said, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is clear, your body is filled with light. Amen? Boy, that's a motivator for me to watch what I'm letting come into my eyes, let alone all the other senses. Amen? Especially the eyes. Especially the eyes. I mean, if you hear with me, when you're watching TV, I still watch TV with a remote in my hand. Anybody here still watch TV with a remote in their hand? Okay. And you know, how many of you here have a changeover station where you can, and it's like PBS or something like that, or the Weather Channel, or, you know, Channel 10 News, right? And you got to have your finger on the changeover station, right? So that, because when those advertisements come on the show that you're watching, you're not going to have any chance to linger on that. How many of you here have your finger on the mute button? Sometimes I mute it and close my eyes. Amen? How many of you here think that's radical?
No.
Jesus said, cut it off.
Yeah.
Cut it off.
That's right.
Cut it off. Hit the mute button. Close your eyes. Amen?
Amen.
Satan is the power of the prince of the air. And he's trying to invade the gateways of your physical senses through advertisements and other kinds of things. Sad to say, he has control of the airwaves. In large part. And so if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better to enter eternal life with only one eye than to have two eyes and to be thrown into the fire of hell. Now make no mistake about it. Certainly Jesus didn't mean for us to literally cut off parts of our physical body. Aren't you glad for that? But what he meant was to remove from our lives anything that threatens our spiritual growth and purity in him. Amen? The Amplified transliteration gives us more insight into the application of what Jesus meant. And it goes like this. It's inevitable that stumbling blocks to sin will come. But woe to the person on whose account or through whom the stumbling block comes. It would be better for him to have a millstone tied around his neck and plunged into the sea. Anybody ever imagine that? Imagine having a millstone tied around your neck and someone just throwing you into a night of lake. And that would be better for you if you're the one doing the tempting. If your hand or foot causes you to stumble and sin, cut it off and throw it away from you. Catch this now. Here's where the rubber hits the road. That is, remove yourself from the source of temptation. Remove yourself from the source of temptation. I'm reminded of a place in the Scriptures where Paul exhorted Timothy, flee impurities and unholiness. Physically remove yourself. If you have to physically run away, then physically run away. Amen? That's how serious God is about it. To be holy as He is holy, to be pure as He is pure. How pure is pure enough? How holy is holy enough? Remove yourself from the source of temptation. It's better for you to enter eternal life crippled or lame than to have two hands or feet and be thrown into the eternal fire of hell. If your eye causes you to stumble and sin, continuing in the Amplified Version, if your eye causes you to stumble and sin, pluck it out and throw it away from you. Catch this again. That is, remove yourself from the source of temptation. For it is better for you to enter eternal life with only one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fiery hell. Sounds to me like God is pretty serious about us guarding the gateways of our physical senses. Can anybody say amen to that?
Amen.
And so how well are we guarding the gateways of our senses to safeguard our body and soul from the territories of temptation? Depending upon your past experiences, you may be more vulnerable to one sensory trigger more than another. How many of you here have ever experienced that other than me, based on your past experience, your past conditioning, however you were conditioned in the past, whatever strongholds the enemy may have built up in you over the years? Depending on your past experiences, you may be more vulnerable to one sensory trigger more than another. Sensory triggers that set you up for the territories of temptation to sin. But whatever your particular vulnerability to sin is, as a born-again believer, if you're taking good care to guard the gateways of your body and soul, catch this now, then God will provide a way out for you. God will provide you with a way to escape the temptation. Amen? It's just a matter of whether or not we're going to take that way of escape. How many of you here have been in the territory of temptation like me, and you know that God's given you a way of escape, and He's given you another way of escape, and He's given you another way of escape, but you're deciding to transgress and to transgress and to transgress, and you're not taking the way of escape? How many of you here can lift an honest, vulnerable hand with me and say, yeah, I've been there. Territories of temptation. I see the way of escape. I see the way of escape. I see the way of escape. I'm not taking it. I'm going to satisfy my flesh instead. And then the grief and the guilt come. Thank God for repentance. Amen?
Amen.
Let's not use God's grace and forgiveness as an excuse to keep on going into the territories of temptation. Amen? God will provide you with a way to escape the temptation. God, by His Word, encourages us along these lines from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. The Living Bible is a paraphrase, different from the New Living Translation. The Living Bible is a paraphrase. And it reads like this. Remember this. The wrong desires that come into your life aren't anything new and different. Maybe that's comforting in a way to you. I don't know. Many others have faced exactly the same problems before you. And so make no mistake about it. No temptation is truly irresistible if you're a born-again believer. Amen?
Amen.
Can anybody else say amen?
Amen.
Because you can trust God to keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand up against it. For He has promised this and will do what He says. Catch this now. He will show you how to escape temptation's power so that you can bear up patiently against it. Amen?
Amen.
The Amplified transliteration provides us with an expanded understanding of this to encourage us further. No temptation, regardless of its source, has overtaken or enticed you that is not common to human experience. nor is any temptation, nor is any temptation unusual or beyond human resistance, because God is faithful to His Word. God is faithful to His Word. God is faithful to His Word. He is compassionate and trustworthy. And catch this now. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability to resist. Amen? Can anybody else say amen?
Amen?
Is anybody else glad for that?
Amen.
But along with the temptation, God has in the past and now and will always provide you the way out as well, so that you will be able to endure it without yielding to it. And you will overcome temptation with joy. Amen?
Amen.
And so God is always on tap to give you a way of escape. But how consistently are we taking the way of escape that He is providing us? How well are we guarding the gateways of our senses to safeguard us from the territories of temptation? The Spirit of God is stirring in our midst afresh today, I believe. And the Spirit of God wants to impart fresh measures of God's grace upon you. Fresh measures of God's overcoming power and spiritual sensitivity to refine our capacity. We have the capacity. God wants to refine our capacity to direct and to protect and to promote our spiritual purity. Spirit, soul, and body. And so right now, if you would be so willing to recommit yourself afresh right now in these closing moments, to be vigilant, to guard those gateways, and to receive a fresh measure of God's grace and a fresh measure of God's power and a fresh measure of God's discernment to be holy and pure as He is holy and pure. Bow your heads and take a quiet moment of prayer response now. Would you come now before the throne of God, each and every one of you, to submit yourselves afresh. Do it now in the quiet of these moments. Lord God Almighty, I submit myself afresh to the Word of the Lord as it's come to me today. I come repentant of heart and I ask You to impart a fresh measure of Your grace, a fresh measure of Your power, a fresh measure of discernment and spiritual sensitivity to refine my capacity, Lord God Almighty, to direct and protect and promote spiritual purity and growth and development in my life, spirit, soul, and body. Thank You, Lord, for what You're doing in the responsive hearts of people in this place, Lord God Almighty. Thank You for what You're doing in the responsive hearts of people that would listen to this message at a later time, Lord God Almighty, that the anointing of Your Spirit would be upon even the recording of this message, Lord God Almighty,
yes, Lord,
to bring transformational change into the responsive hearts of people that would receive it afresh,
amen,
spirit, soul, and body.
Yes.
So we thank You and praise You for all that You're doing, for all that You're going to do, because You're a faithful God. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said together, amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Hallelujah.